And greetings in our Savior's precious name. Thank you, Brother Leon, for sharing those thoughts. Yes, it's all about our Lord and Savior. Our minds are drawn to Him, and it's in Him alone that is worthy to receive glory and honor. Yeah, I've learned to know Leon several years ago. He was at our congregation. He had preordination meetings when I was ordained bishop. I think it's not quite 4 years yet, and so we have a little something in common. I'm glad he came here tonight. I left him know that we're in this end of the country, and so I'm glad he took time to come here. So let's sing our theme song. Have our song leader start that. Freedom, a question that we will answer. He is offering something that no one else will offer. Yes, the devil would love to offer us freedom, but it's a counterfeit. It's not real freedom. Tonight I'd like to consider just speaking to the message in relation to the youth, some characteristics of godly youth. And I'd like to start in the Old Testament with a character that we know little of, but there's some very valuable directives for us to take a look at his life and pick up from there. And that is the prayer of Jabez. We find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there's two verses that talk about this character. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be upon me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Number one, we see that this man called upon God. I think God heard. And his prayer, a notable prayer. And in verse 9, it says that he was more honorable than his brethren. And honorable carries with it quite a weight of meaning. It's characterized by integrity and consistent with untarnished reputation. Accompanied with marks of respect, marked with uprightness in principle and action. True and honest. Righteous. Someone who deserves honor and respect. And oftentimes, it's someone whom we admire. Another thought with this is straight shooting. It's the moral fiber of purity and sincere in heart. And this man, Jabez, he was more honorable than his brethren. And I don't know if we can find much information about his family. We have in 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55, and the Jewish writers affirm that he was a doctor in the law whose reputation drew so many scribes around him in the town which was called by his name. Now, this is talking particularly about the same character. I'm not certain. But it bears a testimony, a beautiful testimony. And we see him, a man, in his request, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." We see an unselfish attitude, asking a blessing on God's terms, not his own. He was interested in his spiritual, to be able to prosper spiritually. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. And yes, we'll touch on some of that tonight, how important that is. It says that God granted him that request. I love this character. And as we look at some characteristics for godly youth, first of all, I think it's important that there's evidence of a love for God. And as we go throughout this message, I just, in a small way, wanted to maybe illustrate a little how some of this can work in our lives. As we look at these two triangles, we have a triangle with the words, the heart, and the actions. We have two of them. And in the center here is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's the control center, is within this triangle. We also have another one where the God of this world is in the control center. And we have the same words on the outline, but it makes all the difference who's controlling that, what happens around the outside. Because the indicators that go on in the heart will come out in the words and in the actions. Or if you want to look at the actions, the indicators are going to come out in words. And it's going to be what's already in the heart. And it works the same way with this triangle. If the God of this world is in control, it really doesn't matter where you look here. There's going to be signs, or there's going to be indicators what the controlling force is. And it's going to be revealed in actions and words and what's in the heart. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So many times what's within here, it's going to be revealed. So tonight, as you look, as I look at my own life and as you look at your life, and we can't see what's going on in our heart. But there are indicators sometimes in most every person's life, what's really happening. And it's going to be revealed. And sometimes you can hide for a long time things that are going on. But eventually it will come out. And sometimes it's not hard at all to tell what's going on because of the outward expression. Maybe it's the words or the actions. So tonight, as we consider some characteristics for our lives, as for those that understand what it is to have this being your control center. And one thing about this is there's a Trinity involved here. There's a Godhead. It's God the Father, and it's Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit. And there's a threefold Godhead that is united. It's not divided. As we allow ourselves to be controlled by this center, this control center, it's going to reveal itself. And this is all everyday life here around this circle. The same thing happens here. And I don't know, we could add a lot of words here and actions and fruit. This could be fruit, that could be fruit. And this could be the mind and this and the intents of the heart. Here we could have a backbiting and gossip and things that are uttered from the mouth that are not seasoned. But over here it could be the words of the wise, be the prudent. And those who have a heart after God and they speak words of wisdom. It's these two camps that we're looking at tonight. It's the camp of the world, what the devil is control of. Or it's the camp of the kingdom of God, what God and
His Son and the Holy Spirit is in control of. There's no middle road. There's no way that we're going to get into the glories of heaven in between here. It's not possible. We need to allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that's going to point us to heaven. So a few of those characteristics I would like to identify tonight is, number one is the love for God. A heart after God. A love that you develop because you know that God lives. And He's in control. And He knows your heart. And He knows mine. And as we look at a verse in 1 Chronicles 16, in verse 8, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, and make known His deeds among the people." And it talks about singing psalms to Him. "Glory ye in His holy name." Appreciated what was mentioned tonight in the devotional, that God gives the glory. "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works with which He hath done, His wonders and His judgments and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones." You and I can be those chosen ones tonight. We can be the called, chosen, and faithful. "Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations." And that's a long time. If we would calculate today how many 1,000 generations is, it'll be a long time yet. If you look at the generations that lived from the time of Adam, I think it might be 200 some. But the Bible gives a clear expression that the generations that God is able to hold His truth, His value, and it doesn't change. It'll last forever, as long as the Lord allows this earth to stand, and then it will continue. We have a great God. He made known His covenant to Abraham, His oath to Isaac. He hath confirmed the same to Jacob. It was an everlasting covenant. Tonight we're blessed with this blessed privilege of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, our mind, and strength. Everything that's within us can be an expression of our love to God for who He is. A love for His word. Number two, His word. Like we have in Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are right." Beautiful words. And this whole book that we have here is the word of God. Love it, cherish it, and it will be a source of light for our path, light for our journey. Point number three, honor father and mother. Oh, my dear youth tonight, how valuable that is. That even started back in the very beginning. And then as Moses, when he received the commandments, honor thy father and mother. In Ephesians 6, we have, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Maybe we should just read a few of those verses there in Ephesians 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Then we have some direction here in verse 4. "And it's to us fathers, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And someone recently asked the question, who sins in this verse? Or who sinned? It's a thought-provoking question. Tonight, children, receive instruction. And yes, we have much
in God's Word. I'd like to read a portion out of Proverbs chapter 4. I invite you to turn your Bibles there. I know we read several of those verses the other evening. But this is such a beautiful chapter when it comes to some instruction for youth, or even for all of us. I'd like to begin in verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Just remember, we just got talking about what an honorable person is like when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I think we'll stop there. Honor thy father and mother. Beautiful instruction. You know, it's good for youth to remember and consider what parents and older people have to say about life. We live in a society that allows children to think for themselves, and where many don't even want to interfere with what a children wants to have. Dear friends, it's good for us to think about and to think and consider what older ones have to say. I benefit from that even yet today. Even though my mom and dad are gone, they passed on from this life. But I appreciate when I can intermingle and I can visit with older, might it be uncles and aunts and older ministers like we have here tonight with Brother Clayton, and those that have weathered many storms. I love to hear about some of the things they have to talk about, because God is faithful. There's a testimony that rings clear from those who know and understand how God is able to carry them through and weather them through storms in life. Receive instruction. Keep my commandments and live. Life without obedience is a life without blessing. Children learn by example. Oh, that's such a weighty matter. How our children pick up on things so easily from dad and mom, from their friends, but particularly from parents. So many of us have many godly influences in our lives. Dear youth, the greatest honor any youth can give to their parents is to live a faithful Christian life. Now that sounds like a simple package. And it is. But we're also aware of the fact that we have an enemy that is trying to have inroads into the lives of our children and of many out there today. But we're grateful tonight. Greater is He that is within us than the God of this world. We believe, and we were taught from young on up, and I believe it's true, that God is almighty. We serve an almighty God. The power that God is able to give to us is far greater than what the God of this world has. And as we get a hold of that, we can be overcomers. We can be victorious. Yes, we can. Get wisdom, number four. Get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the insight into the true nature of things, the ability to discern modes of action with a view of their results. Oh, friends, tonight, as we weigh things in the balance, sometimes at a courthouse or places where there's hearings where they want to have a just evaluation, the way things, where they want to weigh things out justly. But I tell you, God is weighing the balance of our life. And as we consider what God is able to do, for us to get a hold of the fact of knowing what the result is of the choices we make, choices that you and I make in life, we need to have a view in mind. We need to consider what's the outcome of this and weigh things in light of truth, in light of eternity. And understanding is to know, to perceive, to grasp the meaning of, and have the power of comprehension. Get wisdom, get understanding. The contrast between earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom, and that is portrayed in the book of James. And many of you could probably recite those verses where it says, let me tell you the contrast, and it's direct from the Bible. If ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's the difference of night and day. It's light and darkness, and they don't mix. Which camp are we in tonight? O youth, get wisdom, get understanding. Number five, integrity. Oh, how important, how valuable integrity is. We live in a society where integrity is at stake. And I trust it's not at stake among us here tonight. Integrity. How important. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out, till be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. We need to be aware tonight that the God of this world is trying to attack us with fiery darts. He delights if our tongue is used to gossip, backbite, a talebearer, or involved in whisperings. And all these things end up here. Flattering may sound good, but could be spoken for advantage. Jude talks about great swelling words. Yes, there's the wisdom of this world, and there's the wisdom of God. But as we consider integrity and our part of honesty and up living and a life of honesty and uprightness,
God knows our intentions. He knows what we mean by our words, or if we have a hidden agenda. He knows our motives, our thoughts. He weighs our actions. He's able to do that in whichever camp we are. Yes, he can. Let's be like many of the characters in the scripture, or those of old who lived a life of sincerity and of uprightness. And one character I think of is that of Joseph, one that we all love. When he was in Egypt, and how God gave him the strength to be victorious, to make choices that led him in the path of integrity, in the path of honesty. O youth, how about our tongue, our eyes, our feet? Oh, be careful, little tongue. Oh, be careful, little feet, and our eyes, that we have a guard ever before us. Purity, personal purity. Pure actions, that's number 6. Pure actions are essential for pure hearts. Dear youth tonight, how important it is to have that experience. And I know that if you're at all considering courting or even in courtship, it is very important that you understand what a pure life is. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. And that you can be free from impure activity in your heart, in your mind, in actions. And this goes to both sides of the house. Having a proper foundation to build a relationship on with a friend is of utmost importance, so that your life, and then as you look into the future of a future companion, that there's clean hands. There's a pure heart and there's clean hands. That is of utmost value. Number 7, be a friend. Young people like friends. Be a true friend. Be one that cares. Be one that is willing to take time to listen. It's not about me, myself, and I. What are you willing to give to be a true friend? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We have opportunity at every hand to have friends. But why is it sometimes that people struggle with friends? Well, maybe we have to take the first step. Maybe we need to step forward and show ourselves, be a friend. And I think those things will come back to us. Yes, there's many ways that we can express that. We all like to have friends. And there's so many examples that we have, even throughout the scripture. The testimony that others have about my life, what do they have to say about me? Showing love and kindness, not only to those who are kind to us. A true friend will be kind even when he is not shown kindness. A true friend will love to be a good example. Have Jesus as the number one friend in your life. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus. And then as I combine this subject tonight, I think of a conclusion of faithfulness.
being faithful. And there's so much that we could say about faithfulness, faithfulness in your Christian life. Someone who is faithful is one who is reliable, dependable, trustworthy in character. And from a Greek definition, to do a faithful work is to do what is worthy of a faithful man. We all like to have that title of being faithful, or at least we ought to. But it does not come automatically. It comes with a life of expression of a heart and a desire after God. And if we're given an opportunity to use our abilities in various ways, and we all have that, maybe it's through prayer, or maybe it's by responsibility in the church, being able to express faithfulness by the way we do it. And it's not like it has to be noticed. It's not like we think we have to be noticed, but it's just the talents that God gives. Are we worthy? Is God able to give us more? Give us more responsibility? If we're faithful in that which is least, God knows. God knows our heart. He knows how much we can take. And he'll give us more as we allow him to work in our lives. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish and keep you from evil. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There's many promises for those who are faithful. And the promise that we have to someday be counted worthy to be partakers of the glory that is yet to be revealed. So as I look here tonight on these two triangles, where are we at? Who's in the control center? Who's within us? Who's controlling our life? Faithful youth have been such an encouragement to me. And I love when I can see that, and when I can see a testimony ringing or expressing from their lives of their desire to seek God, to live for him. They take time to pray. They take time in the Word. They love to be involved in church activities. I think that's one of the other expressions that come out from a godly youth. They want to be involved in things that surround the church, and also to be a witness and to be a testimony to the community around us. A life of dedication, sincerity. Dear youth, tonight, when I think of my own life, the opportunities I had, I grew up in a Christian home. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was a youth. And I was blessed with a godly youth group. And we had parents that were concerned about us. And they provided a godly atmosphere. We had family devotions. We sang. It was important to my parents that we go to church when there's activities, church-related activities, that were involved. And then, of course, I met my wife. We were in the same youth group. And we had others that had experienced courtship and marriage. We were blessed with family. Those things don't just happen. We have choices to make, dear friends, even as youth. Our parents can't make all those choices for us. But our parents have a desire. And I know the parents that are here tonight, they have a sincere interest that you as youth follow after good examples. And they give heed to the foundational principles that we're talking about tonight. The door of opportunity is open. And as we allow this to be our control center,
God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be revealed in our everyday life around this triangle. You notice the arrows are pointing in both directions.
It just reveals itself. Lord bless each one of you as you continue to follow after God, so that the God of this world can be defeated. That he needs not to have control. Yes, he wants to. He'd like to make inroads into our heart, into our mind, our thoughts. And then there's some ways that it can be expressed and will be expressed in words and actions. God help us that we could live a sincere life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Almighty God in heaven, thank you.